forever. Dog.
Race Chaser.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, and welcome back to Race Chaser Classique, a podcast dedicated to the discussion, dissection,
and dissemination
of every single episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, starting from the very beginning. My name's Alaska. What is yours?
I'm Willem.
Hi.
Backwards, that's male.
Looks like we made it.
Looks
here we
like
are.
Made it. Grand finale.
Season 3, episode 15, the grandest of finales.
The grandest. Last week was the clip.
So grand.
It was.
She was acting grand.
She was acting
backstage.
Grand. You know.
She is acting grand.
She
backstage.
Saw those people and said, okay, good night. Acting grand backstage.
Acting grand.
The clip package was also grand, though. It was hosted by RuPaul with the help of Chaz Bono. But
I think we should submit last week's episode for the queer tease this year. Whether that specifically we should put forward. I think it's really groundbreaking. We were just discussing how difficult it is to recap a recap episode because there's nothing really. There was a little new content, but it wasn't chock full. So it's good to be back and refreshed and with an actual episode to review.
Yeah, but we'd like to thank you for your listenership anyway.
Yes.
And for all the hot goss contributions and dicks and everything like that.
Yeah, and how about that Delta Work episode?
Oh, did y'all like our Delta Work hot goss?
Skaldracia, so much insight into, you know, it's... There's often something like this happens, and then there's a lot of speculation, a lot of people on the sidelines saying this happened. I think this happened. I think this happened. So it's very, it's huge that we got Delta Work in the studio, in the chair to tell her side of the story.
I think it's, I mean, I never expected that this show could be a platform for other people. I just wanted to talk about this fun TV show with my friend.
Yes.
But getting her voice heard is important because nobody else seemed to care about it. And I mean, there was the Emmys thing in 2016, and that was right around when my book was coming out, which had a cover by Matthew Anderson. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to Entertainment Tonight about it and the whole Emmy thing and telling them that how this was going on and that the Emmys were ruling in Matthew's favor and all that. Mm-hmm. And they were just nodding and listening. And it was very similar to Delta on the phone to that reporter where I was just like, is this even going to make it or should I just shut up? And they're like, we can move on to the makeover as soon as you're done. And I was like, oh, we could just do that now because it was like so obvious. I was like, you want to keep RuPaul's Drag Race as your friend and you don't want to, mess up the screeners that you get. And you know, everybody wants to keep it where it is. It's fun. It's enjoyable. But if there starts to be a body count over who's hurt and who's, you know, maligned by the people working there, I think it needs to be addressed. Sometimes
it's also the format, because if you're writing an article, it can only be a certain length.
Yeah.
And honestly, there's a lot going on with that story. So I'm glad that we have like a platform that can be a flexible length to allow the whole story to be heard and to be discussionalized.
Bitch, you may be wearing a platform. I'm in a wedge.
Oh, I like that wedge. Is that cork?
It's a Zenoti, and it's a cork wedge with a metallic overlay.
Oh, I like that. Okay.
Yeah, but
love a cork.
Yeah. This ponytail that you have on, though, do you sit on it when you poop? It's so long.
I'm concerned about the length. That's why I keep the brush in my purse.
That's
I
smart.
Do. I always travel with it.
We kept, I remember at the Lady Gaga house party launch, we had your brush in Hillary's purse, the hairspray in my purse, and then the drugs in Anthony's purse.
And no one had translucent powder.
None.
Not one person.
And your purse was hid in the bushes outside.
Girl, Gucci purse in the bush outside because it was too big. And security was like, it's too big. You can't take it. What? Yeah, literally everyone has a purse. Why are you making me put my Gucci? We came in an Uber. They were like, put it in your car. Well, the car drove away because we came in an Uber.
And they made Gigi's sister, Tiffany, put, they said no to her purse too. But my purse was allowed and it was... You know, it could fit just as much stuff. I think they were worried about people stealing, which is unfortunate because we have pussies in pockets and we could put anything we want.
I stole it anyway. Just like the gold chair. Do it again.
What did Gaga say to you when you told her you stole?
Oh, as I was saying goodbye to her, I was like, by the way, I definitely stole some Glam Attack. And she was like, girl, I know the ins and outs of this place. You fucking steal as much as you want. Fill your purse with it. Go for it. So she was supportive.
I was so
thrifting.
When she saw us, we were walking in and she was doing her solo carpet pictures. And on ET Canada, they released a video where she's waving. You see her start to wave. Mm-hmm. And it's from when we walked in and we were like, yes, Gaga, mother. That, it's so funny because you see her instant reaction is just like, oh, yeah. Cool. The kids are here. And
yeah,
when I walked in to say hi to her and to, you know, chat and stuff, she looked at me, she's like, I've been seeing you, Miss Actress, everywhere, Miss Actress. Mm-hmm. And I went, okay, Miss Activist. And she put her finger up in my face and just nodded, and I was just like, I'm glad I made her happy, you know. Yeah. Anytime that you can make her happy or laugh or like, gosh, she's such a real person.
Yeah.
And I get so happy talking about her.
Yeah, she's
and
lovely.
Her makeup's fucking sickening.
Yeah, it's good product.
She sent me everything, that liquid to powder thing.
Glam Attack.
The more you buff it out with a brush, it gets shinier.
Yeah.
It's so good. And I put it on over glitter and glue on my brow, and it's still buffed out pretty.
Oh.
Normally, you can't wear anything shiny over glue because
it's
the way...
It's challenging. Yeah.
That's why we use matte shadows mostly. But like, fuck, she did it right.
She did it. She
did
knows
it.
Her way around some fucking makeup. That's
God
for
is
sure.
A Gaga.
You had to sneak
And
into
thank
the
you,
party.
Sarah. Let's sneak in.
We didn't sneak into the party. No. We were
in. But we did... We were in a line to chat with her, and Nicola Formichetti was nice enough to pull us up to the front, and
yeah.
He said, you shouldn't wait. And I said... I shouldn't, but I don't
agree.
Mind.
I agreed. I agreed with that sentiment.
I said, as he was pulling my arm, I'm like, I have five people with me. Gigi, Nats, Alaska, Gabe, come on. It was that.
Well, she was probably she had been meeting people for hours. So she was, it was probably coming to the end of like who she could physically meet. So
right before you walked back up, they were trying to tell Gigi and Nats that they didn't have their tickets. So they're like, you can't even get stand in this line anymore. I was like, Oh, I was like, well, they're with me. And they said, okay, well, you have to do a group shot then because it's taking too long with
fine.
The singles. I said, that's fine. So we did a group shot, and it was just, I was so happy just seeing her.
I know. I just wanted to say
and, like,
hi.
Meeting Freddie and seeing Tom, and I met Sandra the stylist, and I talked to her like she was Sarah, like an idiot because I'm a moron.
Oops.
And she was nice enough to like go along with it. And I was like, wait, no, you're not that girl. But Sarah was like running around crazy because like she invented the makeup, you know?
Yeah.
She's so fucking cool. Anyway.
It was her night, dancing free until the morning light.
Echa pa'lante.
Forever, together forever, because this is your night. let's get into this episode. We have a touching lipstick message from the dearly departed Yara Sofia.
No mires pa atrás y pa coger impulso. And you know... I don't know what that means.
And you know what? Fuck you, haha. And she left a Puerto Rican flag hanging in the workroom. Gone but not forgotten. We love you, Yara Sofia. You're a legend and a lady.
Mm-hmm. I like that they show all the queen's runways and like a highlight clip package of them performing.
Yeah.
Like we don't know who the top three is. But anytime we get to see like... Raja or Manila or Alexis or any of these girls turn it out, because they all turned it out this season. Three challenge wins each, which is, you know, a pretty fair assessment of a top three. They all won three challenges.
Right. Very equally equally spread out. The girls are hanging out in the workroom. Alexis and Raja tell Manila that she's annoying, and Manila says, Well, imagine how I feel.
Imagine being me.
She's aware and she knows. Then, there's girl. A video message.
And it says, mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the queenest of them all? Who's got the style? Who's got the grace? Who's got the balls to take my place? When it comes to dreams, size really do matter.
Oh, and who comes in the workroom but the one and only Michelle Visage.
Her hair is as tall as her face. She has such great proportions going on for drag right now. She looks great. Hector slayed it, as always.
She looks great.
She looks
really stunning. And she tells the gals about their final challenge. The queens will become Greek goddesses, living statues. Prepare for the clash of the Xanadu Titans as you co-star in the music video for Superstar with RuPaul.
Wait, Ginger and Jinx were there? Sorry. Ginger and Jinx are going to be in Xanadu.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're touring it. This video was choreographed by Ryan Heffington, who does Sweaty Sundays. I went to that. That was so fun. And it's directed by Matthew Anderson. And this is his incarnation when he was like no eyebrows, no hair, no beard. He was like just bald headed, wearing a squeaky blonde shirt.
Word.
I love that he was wearing a squeaky shirt on there.
Beach, I just saw the genie from the lamp. That's what Alexis Mateo said about
Ryan.
Which kind of works. It tracks.
Yeah. One-on-one lunch with RuPaul. My favorite quote is there's a Tic Tac on the plate and Raja says, what is this, Thanksgiving?
Just picking up the joke and running with
it. I think Ru and her ran that beforehand, you know? They probably...
Right.
At home, you know, on the way, there'll be, and then,
over breakfast.
Right.
in their well-appointed West Hollywood mansion.
Do you think the girls got to pick which pit crew member they associated with for their part in the music video?
They fraternized with. I don't know.
There were only two. And I mean, I'm sure Raja knew Sean. If given the choice, I would pick someone that I knew for sure.
Yes.
Actually, I did pick Sean. I think I picked both of the pit crew when I did my thing with them. But this thing with Jason and Alexis, she's tweaking his nipple. I don't know how that would read in silhouette, but I would do it too.
Manila really struggles with that intimate moment because she's like, my boyfriend is going to see this and he's going to be pissed. But, I mean, it's acting.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to be an actress and be a hoe with a man. And I know, Willem, you prefer method acting, and you like to actually fraternize with the actors that you act with.
Well, listen, bitch, you can't spell method without hoe.
Or meth. Or
well,
odd.
Now you're just tempting me with a good time.
And you usually set up a GoPro in the dressing room while you do it.
Well, don't.
For posterity.
Look right at that teddy bear on the bed. The blinking one.
Can you tell me your opinion of this music video set?
You know what? Music video sets often in work lights look like shit, but then in editing, most clubs do. And then during the day when they're sweeping up, you're like, I have fun here. But then when you light it and it's beautiful, it's fine.
Yeah. So
pipe and drape, you're good.
They're in the work lights and the set is very simple. It's a black background, a few pillars, a few standing boxes, and that's that. But once you light it correctly, it can look really good in camera, and I think it does end up looking pretty good.
Yeah, 100%.
I want to steal this set and this idea and recreate it.
Manila talked about her family in the lunch with Rue about how her father might not be as supportive as the rest. I've seen your mom at shows. You've seen my parents at shows.
Yeah. We're very lucky for that.
Yeah. And Alexis's mom is cool with her and her sisters. And Raja's family knows about her and stuff, but like, it's just something I take for granted that my dad tips me at my own shows.
Yeah.
But, it's challenging to see that people are still struggling with acceptance, but hopefully this helped them. Their parents seeing them on a show where they're doing excelling at their craft and everything.
Yes. It shows the family what drag is all about, that it can be a lucrative career, that it can be like, you know, fierce and fun.
Yeah.
Which
it's not just some hooker on CSI.
Which, how many of those have you played?
Listen, on CSI New York, I was a showgirl and best friend of Candace Kane. My name was Dahlia. And on CSI
Dahlia
Normal.
Black.
No, just Dahlia. On CSI, no, wait, what was CSI Normal? My name was Dahlia, and I was a former veteran who was also a showgirl.
Okay.
But I was not a prostitute. That's what I'm trying to get out.
Oh, okay.
No, on all them other shows.
I just saw a messy man.
We're going to take a break. A long one.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
You've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore?
Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time.
The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it?
That's tea. I don't know how I would spend my time. I'd probably get ample sleep, have ample time to sit and do nothing. I love that hobby.
Yeah.
And then time to spend with my family, my friends, my loved ones, and, you know, doing stuff that I love.
I always listen to the end of the Hamilton soundtrack, and they have that song about time, and it makes me, like, cognizant that, like, life is finite. And you should, like, try to appreciate it and then take downtime and stuff. But the best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you. And then you make that a priority no matter what.
That's right. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And one of my friends did it, and she really liked it, too.
That's right. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/drag. Today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drag.
And we're back, and on the set of Champion.
Champion. Well, are we gonna, we're not gonna talk about the Tic Tacs. We already talked about that.
We can.
Yeah. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, I just, okay, so, okay, so the Tic Tac lunches are interspersed with the set.
Right. Yeah.
What page? Okay.
I just segmented them so that we're not bouncing back and forth between Tic Tac choreography.
I love it. The stuff that you thought of was stuff that I said too, without even reading this page, like the squeaky shirt, that he's bald, all that stuff. I have a question about.
Yes.
Let's start the segment over.
No, no.
We're showing the process. We're showing how integral your outlines are to the process.
Warts and all.
Okay. Dippertina. Dippertina.
Hot Gossica.
Hot Gossica.
I like
Simpson.
That. I have a question. If you were, if someone were to say, let's do a photo shoot, and you were all excited about it, and then you get there and they say, we're doing this in black and white, would that change what you did to your face or your hair?
Yes, it would change the hair, change the clothes, the face, the way you treat your makeup.
Everything, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the fact that these girls weren't told it was black and white, because one of the comments that Raja gets from Michelle later is, you could have done with more makeup. Raja's in a nude lip. She looked great when it was like behind the scenes when walking the set and it was gorgeous. Yeah. But a nude lip on black and white disappears and you're going to look like Glenn Close.
Glenn Close is a beautiful woman.
In the right light. Yep. But I just think it would have behooved them to let them know, hey, this is black and white. You need, and hey, Alexis, by the way, this is going to be shot in silhouette. Don't wear that giant hair, you know, like help them help you make a better video.
They were gunning for that hair.
Manila missed one. She had a little teeter step in a landing and then hit the pose. And then they said, okay, stop. You really need to hit your marks,
you
girls.
You really need to learn how to do drag.
it was out for blood.
Well, let's talk about, okay, so there's this. Have they done the Tic Tac lunch before? They've done it since season one.
Rebecca had it.
So this is an ongoing thing, and it's sort of a soft moment where you get to speak with RuPaul in a really close format, just the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
And
you've done this twice now.
Well, on All Stars, it was a podcast, so it was slightly different.
Oh, is that where you got this idea from?
No. Yeah. So RuPaul goes for the tears immediately with Alexis, with the hard hitting right to the core. Who's rooting for you at home, Willem?
What about your dad? About your
tell us about the drugs. Drugs, alcohol, sex.
all of them have been my demons at times. I say the biggest demon is me.
What is your Christmas wish, Diane?
I want to see the receipts.
RuPaul does look amazing, though.
Yeah, this little asymmetrical ruffle and then the strap down.
I like just the little sassy strap down the arm.
And honestly,
it's
can
cute.
We? I would love to talk about her breast work in this photo because no one does like, titties like Matthew.
Like, how is that even?
So good. I saw a picture of Jansport, who's beautiful, this drag queen from New York.
Yes,
she's in this little denim thing, and the middle of the denim like bodysuit is off center, but her tits are still, because they're painted on, they can't move, they're still center, and it's like, the fuck's up with your tits, dude? But she looks so pretty. That one, yeah, it's just slightly left of center enough where I'm like, there's something ain't computing.
A lot of the divas like to do this drawing on the breast.
Oh, I don't
thing.
Mind it. I just think that the dress slipped out of the optimal position for the photo. And I'm saying it. Ruse are perfect.
Yeah, I don't mind it on RuPaul. And I think the difference is RuPaul doesn't do a lot of like heavy moving. Mm-hmm. And Matthew is really slight with it. We're looking at it right now, there's never a hard line anywhere. It's just a hinting of it. And I think that's why it really works and it's really successful. Like
I think he lays the light in and then throws the dark on, and it works how he contours. I mean,
yeah.
Fifi had tits that were drawn with a with a
Snickers bar. I believe
did
is
you
how he
see
described
the,
it.
Did you who Matthew?
No, I don't remember. Sharon and I.
They helped her a lot in the post for that one because it was just like eyeliner circles. Yeah, but it looked great in the final. Her promo picture was great.
I just say leave it alone. Like, I don't know, just leave it alone. Hint at it maybe with like some highlighting, mm-hmm. but like, I don't know.
Or maybe a little cover boy.
Is it right? Yes, placing the product. So who is rooting for Alexis at home?
Her sister, her mother, and then she's got a whole extended family in Florida too.
Yes.
I'm sure Vanjie was like 14
just
at that point.
Just a twinkle in her drag mother's eye. Doing backup dancing
you know,
for the Divas at pageants.
You know she was a backup dancer first,
a
I'm
boy
sure.
backup dancer. Who said, I could do that, bitch.
She found her up in her hair.
Put me in the middle. Put me in a fucking gilda and put me in the middle.
the choreography, it just seems like walkography, which Russia doesn't seem to be grasping. Or maybe they're just showing her like first takes. It's kind of like watching a baby giraffe try to do drag for a second, because she's just all legs.
Yeah. I mean, we know that Raja can walk. She does it for a living. Mm. She does it great. But yeah, when it's set to timing, it's sort of a different story. If for for anybody, I yeah, mean, myself included, it's very difficult to get into some traffic jams.
And then Raj is like, I almost fell laughing. Not being on serious. Rue, did you see I almost fell?
RuPaul standing up. I think this is the first and last time RuPaul is there for the music video in drag, because girl.
And standing.
If you are taking up RuPaul's time when RuPaul is in drag, don't do it.
No.
If you can wear pants and still look feminine.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about.
I have a question about the Rue being on set the whole time, because at one point they say, this is our last thing with Rue. We're losing her, or something, like her beard's growing in or something. I don't know. Like,
she probably said, okay, I'm done.
Y'all got one more.
Figure it out.
Y'all got one more to play traffic trons and bump into each other.
Send bumper in the bitches. Stand in.
Seriously.
And keep it pushing.
Keep
fish.
It pumping, queen.
Keep it pumping, queen.
Fuck. Do you know that the directive for when Rue was looking to do a scripted show, which ended up being AJ and the Queen, was Rue's agent and my friend's agent is the same. And it trickled down that she was looking for a show that she could sit. So AJ and the Queen is a driving show. She didn't want to be standing the whole time.
I hear that.
Me too. Work smarter, not harder, bitch.
I'm not mad about that at all.
Not at all.
Matthew looks so cute. I just need to say that he looks just so adorable directing this. He also has no patience for any of these divas.
None.
He's like, your hair is too big. Oh, wait, that comes later.
What
he's like, Raja, you need to get your spot.
If you can see it behind Alexis's hair.
That comes later. That comes in the weapon Olympiad.
He delightfully moment. Disperses disdain to the girls.
Oh, deep disdain.
It's deep and it's wonderful.
I don't even think it was like production being like, give them a little hard time for story.
Him.
No, that's him.
That's him.
If you can't walk to your spot on the timing, he is going to read you.
For sure.
Five sure.
And I mean, this angle is from below, which, you know, if you shoot a girl from below, sure, her legs look long and everything else, but that mug may not be the best angle for it.
Shoot me from below. I'll look like fucking Godzilla.
I'll look like fucking Mount Rushmore in a wig.
What do you think about their pink looks?
This is, I think they had the outfits provided for them.
Yeah, they gave them pink stuff and then they embellished the pink, and then the black, same thing. They gave them like black, probably women's American Apparel bikini tops.
Yeah.
And then they all did their thing.
Blonde Asian, watch
blonde
out.
Blonde Asian, watch out. Two blonde Asians.
Yeah.
Alexis didn't do blonde hair, did she? Alexis
no, she did
dark
did not.
Hair.
Yeah.
I think it would look great if they were all blonde, but that's fine.
Because she always uses her natural.
Her natural hat, yeah. Did you, top three, have any moments where you were just, when you were top three, like, let's have a hug before all the craziness starts?
Not really. I was the middle child, and like Jinx and Roxy were sort of like going at it, and like sort of Roxy was at a breaking point and was like kind of coming for Jinx, and I was like, she's just joking.
Because that's what I do. Time, because you all had to rotate through all those positions. Was Rue there the whole time?
Wait, in
wasn't
what?
She the judge
in your music video?
Oh, right. Yeah,
and
that was.
You had to do all of that acting, and she was there the whole time. I mean, she was sitting, but.
Yeah, that was quite a day. Plus, she was in a robe, so it was probably more comfortable. Yeah. Like, she was head up, basically. So, probably that was a little. That's why she was able to do it. RuPaul is pissed and annoyed that these divas are taking up her time. She has had it.
She knows the camera is on her right now, and she chooses to shut her eyes and look down.
Pissed.
Power.
really mad. Like, all you have to do is walk, ladies. Okay.
How hard is it? Do I need to run the spotlight too? Like, this is Encounters Pasadena?
Oh my God.
Jesus Christ.
That's Encounters Pasadena.
We're going to take a break.
Bye.
How many
O's? Oh, 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 oh. 14? I got 14.
Oh, 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 oh. It's exactly, Dipper wrote down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 O's, and he got it perfect.
Well done. Yeah. Dippertina with the award-winning outlines, keeping the machine running.
I see you eyeing our queer tea. You trying to get awards.
The divas look great as they move into the next segment of the music video.
Which is black sequin dot fabric.
It's a little bit more of a dark, sultry look. So they get these black chiffon bikini moments. I mean, Raja's in a fucking slingshot. Like, she's very scanty.
This black fabric they provided is black sequin dot, which is, as soon as light hits it, it's sheer. But, you know, it's fine. Everybody looks good. It's just music video extra work, basically. So
they're deeply coming for Alexis's big hair, which I think is a little unfair.
You know, this was how the interview went with the talking head. Manila, what did you think about Alexis's hair? And then Manila probably went, it's cute. And then producer said, do you have anything negative to say about it? Was it too big? And then like they get Manila saying, yeah, I guess, I mean, if you were going to be an athlete, like that's not the hair, but like, sorry.
Manila's struggling with the fancy footwork, but I don't look.
Manila's?
I think the coming for Alexis's hair was a little much. Everyone was coming for Alexis. Matthew Anderson was like, someone's being hidden by someone's huge hair. Just reading her openly, blatantly.
100%. Yeah.
I mean, I can see as a director why he would be mad, because it does sort of throw off balance, the whole thing.
Her hair on the top is larger than her head, so yes, it's like lighting around.
Diva likes sometimes.
I'm not saying it's terrible. I'm not saying it's bad at all, but
I'm not reading you by any means.
No. But if it's shot in silhouette, you know, your head's gonna look pregnant.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I think. I don't know.
So then we see the backlit sort of almost like fucking Cinemax, like soft porn romance novel sex scenarios, which looks really great in the camera.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, really pretty.
I mean, at least they're not trying to dance anymore, because that fancy footwork was more frugal footwork, because I wouldn't have paid for it. That's for sure.
Manila pulls it out. She does great.
Yeah. Raja is just so beautiful. Like, even in silhouette, I want to look like her. And just the styling.
I would get an Apple box for the guy if it was me.
I would have gotten an Apple box for Sean, too.
Because I would have
sat
like,
on it and sucked him.
I want to look so tiny and petite next to you. So I always put guys on Apple boxes if we're in scenes together.
Mm-hmm. It works.
Would you have dropped down like that?
Oh, I would have dropped low first, for sure. Raja knows sensuality, though.
Knows how to do sexy.
Raja knows sexy.
When have you done sex scenes?
Me?
Yeah.
I had a sex scene in 2005 that the director took my hands and said, no, like this, and shoved it down the actor's pants. And he wasn't wearing underwear.
Boston Public? Boston Pubic?
No, it was Nip Tuck.
Okay.
And like I had a sex scene that evolved into him beating me up too. But he was really cool, and somebody made a comment about me kissing me kissing him, like in character or whatever. And they said, watch out for Jolie or something. And I found out the mom on Nip Tuck dated the son on Nip Tuck for a while.
Work in real life?
Yeah.
Work.
John and Jolie.
That's like on
scandalous.
Dexter, the siblings on Dexter are married in real life.
Are they?
How cute.
But they're
oh,
nice. Brother sister on the show.
Oh.
I love that.
Bonding.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
you do sex scenes in music videos.
Do I?
Or sexual interactions with men.
Ray usually sucks the guys hard before I get there.
Okay. Oh my God.
But I do help. Yeah. I mean, everybody who's there is usually either a stripper or someone who knows that the, you know, it's sex work sometimes. Yeah. The people I hire, because I'm like, I'm not going to hire models and try to push them out of their comfort zone. Let me get some porn stars. Let me get some hookers. Let me get some people that are a good time and are not worried and have big dicks and aren't afraid to use them, or titties or a vagina. And it's just easier being on a set where people are cool. Like Sean Morales is cool. He's perfect for this, you know?
Yeah. Music videos always have an element of like, oh, it's sexy, it's heightened, it's, you know.
Yeah.
The shower in Heather's.
Well, Courtney took it upon herself to pick out which Heather helper she wanted first without checking with her sisters on what Heather helper they wanted.
You all are wrapped. You can all go for my scene.
I left, but I heard she
you
had
made
a...
out with the TV in that film while the other
yeah,
two.
I don't... I yeah. mean, I don't typically like to do it because, I don't know, like... I like to be sexy, but not sexual.
I don't think I've ever seen Alaska... Mm. Be sexual. I can't imagine Alaska having sex. Not in that hair
either.
That you
excuse me, your hair is too big to get fucked in.
I literally have a screenshot of my trade that says just hurry up and get home and slap a wig on and it's like slap a wig on and some lipstick. And I'm like,
they think it's so easy.
It's so easy.
They think all of this just happens, don't they?
It's not like I can just go to Party City, grab a wig, and then have you fuck me in the mall.
That's Party City.
slash drag.
I love that Alexis is behind Jason Carter. Acting like he's fucking her when Alexis is the top, and we
oh
all know
gosh.
That for sure.
Okay, and then we add like a cha-cha sequence, you know, and Alexis is kind of killing it. Like this is her comfort zone.
But I mean, Sean could have. These guys could have been at least as tall as the women that they're next to if they allowed them to wear shoes. But maybe since this is referencing ancient Greece, they didn't have shoes back
okay.
then. Except
apparently
for the
they
ladies.
Had pleasers. They had lucite pleasers back lucite. In ancient Greece.
Lucite bedazzled pleasers. For the girls. Girls wore shoes back then, not guys.
Now, would you throw the javelin, the discus, or shoot the bow and arrow?
I would probably do bow and arrow because that's what I did in my latest cover boy campaign.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, it was fun.
I did a bow and arrow in Sharknado, and we had to be really careful.
They're like, please stop pointing that at the other town in Alaska.
We had to be really careful with it. Like, often there was nothing in it, and they were like, we'll put it in post because, I mean, you could fucking kill someone with a bow and arrow. So I bet they were really careful with this. And I don't... she doesn't release it. She just pulls back.
The funny thing is Raja does hers literally once, and you can see it starting, and Matthew goes, okay, we got it, moving on. Because he was always about, like, if we got it, we got it. We don't need to keep shooting. He
exactly.
did not waste time.
We don't need extra reels of footage. Manila is trying to throw this discus.
Or not throw it.
Right.
She wasn't throwing it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's spinning around. Okay, and then they put them on the revolving Lazy Susan, the Jiggly Caliente special.
Oh gosh.
Are they getting them together by shooting them below? Because it's a little harsh, I gotta say.
I don't know where their eye line is, but they're all looking up. None of them are in camera. Manila looks like a Christmas caroler, like, oh.
We're watching it on mute right now, and literally all you see is the mouths just going, oh. like gaping fish on the dock.
All in all, this looks like an exhausting day on set. I mean, they yes. had running around in heels, one look, another look change, having Rue there, who I'm sure was intimidating to work around a little bit.
Sure.
And then they spin the bitches around.
They all look pretty.
Look gorge.
And they're all feeling their moment, and they're all it's intercut with them reflecting on their journey and like how they're feeling, and it's pretty cool, and it's an iconic song. It's one of my I think it's my favorite RuPaul song, Champion.
What's the one that starts "This is the beginning"?
It's called "The Beginning."
That was our song.
That was our music video song.
Ours was Glamazon. That's it.
Glamour's ours was the beginning on season 5, which I wore
that
just
bus
I
driver
just
wig
outfit.
With chiffon,
horrible hair.
Oh no, I saw
horrible gowns,
horrible gowns,
horrible wigs.
I have a question. What is the first line? Is it "This is the beginning of the record you like, or the rest of your life"?
I think the first line she says, "This is the beginning of the record you like," and then the rest of it is, "This is the beginning of the rest of your life."
Got it.
"This is the end of the rest of your life, life." That's a Sharon Needles song, which is a RuPaul reference.
Rue has actually been on a Sharon song, too.
Really?
Yeah. This Club is a Haunted House. She did, like, this intro.
"This is a story about a little dead girl dug up from the cornfields of Newton, Iowa."
Yeah, it was pretty cool. The main stage... I guess this is their last day competing. And despite it saying it's at the Music Box Theater on Hollywood Boulevard, it was not filmed there.
I hid in the other room when RuPaul came in and recorded that intro at the studio on Sharon's song. I was there. But I hid because I was like, I'm too scared and I want to get on Drag Race and I don't want her to see me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But RuPaul looks resplendent.
It looks like giant feathers, but really, I think it's cut chiffon pieces.
This is so great.
It's one of my favorite.
Absolute. My favorite looks, possibly my favorite look that RuPaul has ever worn.
Talk about it.
I'd like to continue talking about Rue first because it deserves it, because this hair is
so big,
double the size of her head. Mm-hmm. It is larger than her head, and she has a big flower in it. Like, look at the proportions of that.
How is the flower even mounted? What is it? How?
The flower must be stuck in to something, like the tape on her head or something. I don't know, but it's great. And it just gives her silhouette, and it's so beautiful.
Really, really great. Really beautiful. Probably my favorite look.
And a nude lip that still shows up on that yellow. Now,
Dipper wants us to discuss Michelle's look.
Now, there's these cursed images people have heard of, like queens.
A cursed image.
This is probably a cursed image, because... there's great aspects to how Michelle looks, but with this, it's just she has a nude lip on, and it just makes her look ghoulish, and all of her hair is pulled back and then made big, so it's kind of like, it's the opposite of what a drag queen does. Drag queens put on hair to usually conceal or soften sometimes, and this is like, let's show you everything, and we're not going to put on a lip.
I think someone else painted her.
This doesn't look like whoever painted
paint
her
herself
the rest of the season, other than the first. Remember that first episode where
there
she did the same lip? This could have been her.
No, this isn't her, and you can tell because she knows her way around her face. She's been painting her face for years.
Well, she should have picked up a brush here.
This, she was entrusting someone else to do her makeup, and she said, "I trust you, you're a professional, go ahead and do it." And in the lights, the lip disappears, the eye is a little ghoulish.
One of the lashes looks like it's coming off. No, they did. They didn't do enough, though. That's the thing. You could definitely see the contour on the sides. I don't know who did this.
I can tell you that she watched this season back and she never made that mistake.
She learned
again.
A few things,
I will
for
tell
sure.
You that much.
Yeah, for sure.
Because she goes on to look outstanding, show stopping, brilliant, amazing.
100. Santino's also there. And that's all that needs to be said on that. I mean, that's all Rue's going to say anyway. This final three runway, I
just family.
Just family.
Uh-huh.
I don't take issue with it, but it's just like weird that all three girls would come out and stuff that they couldn't get crowned in, really. Manila already has a crown. Raja's in a bowler hat, and Alexis is in a mountain range of hair.
Why don't we talk about each look? Why don't we watch them?
I'd love that.
And we'll take a break and we'll come back and talk about each look.
One name suffices. It says it all. Raja.
Raja.
You know her as the iconic winner of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 3, and we have the privilege of speaking with her every episode for Season 3 in a segment that we like to call
Raja Reflections.
I want to know about the corn Shangela thing and the wig that she returned to you that was one big dreadlock.
Right, well, speaking of La Jolla Avenue, I had this tiny little apartment.
A jewel box.
It was a jewel box.
Don't let her degrade it. She let me borrow something, and I came and looked in, and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's what you imagine Amanda Lepore lives in too, like that jewel box at the, just lubes on the wall.
Yeah, I had a lot of shit in there, and I still have a lot of shit in where I live, but it was a really, really tiny space, and that's all I fucking remember. What else were
you
talking
about? Did you make the corn thing with Shangela?
Yeah, that's right. So
the silver, sparkly...
Right.
Cornsage.
I'm fine.
You're doing great.
Okay. So Shangela, I had fallen in love with at an evening in Foo Bar.
As one does.
Right. I'd never seen a Shangela before. I am just, just a local WeHo middle-aged drunk who wobbles around town and essentially once in a while locates new talent. And I saw Shangela one night at Foo Bar. I think it was...
Metro Mondays. That is the nexus.
And shablamming was still quite a new concept. People were not death dropping.
Called it shablamming.
Yeah.
Right?
Shangela, who I now call Shablamgela, was the first person that I'd ever seen live and in person shablam. Because
so it actually blew your mind.
It blew my mind. And I know that it's a big part of voguing culture
now. Why are you
on the floor? I know. It was the first time I'd ever seen that. So I was just like, yes, I love her. So when I noticed that she was on Drag Race, I was so excited for her. I never thought that I would be on Drag Race. And I was like, girl, I love you. I'm in full support of you and I want to help you. So I, lent out my hand, my expertise at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And she was irresponsible. she didn't understand how important that shit was. No, actually.
How do you not get a girl back her shit right after?
I helped her with her cornsage. Uh-huh. And I also gave her the wig that she wore. I helped her style it on her head. And
did Billy do her makeup that day?
She just kind of returned everything, like just kind of disheveled and old and really matted and disgusting. So I was just like not having it. So I called her out on it.
Yeah.
Can I get her wine?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my God. Already got it. I'm drunk already. Am I not?
All right.
Bring it to the runway.
Runway. Bring it to the.
Hello?
Just leave the Thai food over there. Yes, we'll eat it. Yes, we are not going to eat it on the mic. Oh, friend of the pod? Okay. Thank you so much for coming. All right. Yes, we'll tip on the app. Okay, bye.
I swear someone was there. I don't know that you're supposed to take the FedEx office pens that are there. I think they belong to FedEx office.
Oh, my. Are you reading Dipper's pen?
No.
Did you steal this from a FedEx office?
No, I was gifted it by an employee.
Oh,
okay.
Work. Oh, that's how.
Well,
that's,
if I got a raise, maybe I could afford to buy my own pens.
Do you want a higher chair? That would be a raise.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, back to the runway. Raja knows the power of a reveal.
Okay.
And comes out facing the back wall, shows them the legs, shows them the body, and then just the perfect little shrug. It just leans off without falling off and still provides, like, you know, outfit. Oh, God. Sorry.
Victor Victoria bowler hat.
Meet Sally Bowles.
With the chiffon thing over. Yes, and Sally Bowles. Very chains. Sally Bowles.
All the chains.
Every chain ever. And under that bowler hat is a nice flat surface to put. What on a crown?
Oh.
She thought about this.
You think?
I think she did.
Probably.
So, okay. I wasn't crazy about this when I first saw it.
Oh, I loved it.
When this first aired, I was like, you have to wear a gown. It's the crowning moment. You have to do gown category. It has to be like royal. But this makes sense for Raja. And it gives her the ability to move around. And it's fucking stylish and really cool.
So. Yeah, totally.
Well, you were Team Manila anyway.
So. I was Team Manila.
Now, Manila.
Speaking of whom, can we watch her?
Manila is.
The gown is really sickening.
Stoned.
Stoned for dirt.
Not a smattering or a scattering. Full bodice, stoned. And then this the neckline of like a Chinese, a traditional dress with that like butterfly clasp and like the chinois or whatever. She has that at the bottom of the dress. And it's really just a beautiful detail referencing a culture of a country that's next to the country where she's where her mom's from, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks so pretty. Just so pretty.
My only gripe with this...
I don't like her ears.
You don't like her ears?
Yeah, I would put some hair over her ears.
Oh, I don't mind her ears. My only fucking gripe with this is the fact that she's wearing a crown. You can't wear a crown.
You can't wear a crown
on crowning day. It's bad luck.
Yeah, you can't. Putting on a crown that doesn't belong to you is bad luck.
It's cute if you're like going out and you want to invoke like royalty or whatever, and you put a little crown in your hair, that's fierce. But this is the opportunity where hopefully you're hoping to get a crown put on your head.
Especially when it's a crown that you already wore on the runway in
she wore this?
That Breakfast at Tiffany's with the big necklace. Remember when Mariah had her ponytail and when Mariah invented ponytails? That was the same crown. And it's just like,
Even the judges say, oh, she brought her own crown. Oh,
I mean, I think she had to wear it because Violet Chachki was backstage and she was afraid she might not see it again.
Keep an eye on it, girl.
And keep an eye on it. Lock that crown down. Lock the crown down.
But that gown is custom, beautiful, really stunning. And finally, we have Alexis Mateo coming out in this pink showgirl moment.
At least 20 Marabou bustle attachments.
Yeah.
I don't understand what's happening at the neck. It looks like the same sort of like cut chiffon thing that Rue did with the yellow, but much less of it. So it doesn't work as well. But this little parasol, I'm glad to see she's prepared for inclement weather.
Cute parasol, the beading on the bodice. I mean, it's a really strong outfit.
It's pretty.
And it's great to know. I mean, Alexis Mateo had some fucking clothes packed. I will tell you that much because this is a really exciting outfit.
You
that
know,
she saved.
A Mateo loves an embellished bodysuit.
Yes,
she does. Vangarella is kind of doing that.
And she says in her explanation, I want to show the judges who I am. And you know what? Who I am? I'm a showgirl. So I'm wearing a showgirl outfit. I feel comfortable in this. I feel fierce in this. The tights are stoned.
They were. She was a pioneer for sure.
Yeah.
And she showed a lot of fucking good drag this season. The highlights from the music video shoot are entertaining, but calling them highlights would be unfair to lowlights, I think.
Well, Manila has both in her hair.
This is true.
Highlights and lowlights.
She invented the skunk. Before the judges deliberate, though, they want to hear from each queen. They do the firing round of say something good and say something bad about each and why you should win and what are your pros and cons.
And they do it solo. They send the other girls away so they don't hear.
Oh, they do. Well, that
you really
that's
think the
helpful.
Girls didn't hear?
That's helpful.
Or the girls didn't know what.
Wait, talk about the video though. Oh no, because this is the highlights. They played the real video at the end.
We'll talk about the video at the end.
I mean, I see this though, and I don't understand.
They read Raja for her makeup because it's in black and white. If she would, if she was wearing the makeup she's wearing now on the runway in that video, it would have worked.
Darling, can I talk to you about something?
I would like to hear what you have to say, darling.
Well, darling, well, the woman that reads, the individual in question that reads Raja for her lipstick has on the same non-lip that she do. So take your own advice. Michelle was literally saying you could have done with more makeup. It's like, you should have been told that it's black and white. Just like she should have been told that. I don't. Does she even have a lip liner on? Like, I know Michelle didn't do this makeup. You're totally right, because
she did.
Michelle would never do that kind of hooded eye. Like, Michelle knows that not every eye can carry a hood like that. My eye certainly can't. Like, it's too deep. And like, she has no contour on. The lip is wrong. Her hair looks great. Go Hector. And the outfit's cute.
Dipper's putting a thumb over her face to show us what it would look like.
It's that moment of it. Just wipe your face. If only
you would have done that. Oh my gosh, it just changes the whole thing. So much better. So the divas are getting a few critiques on their
performance.
Michelle
doesn't even have a nail. Did you see that stubby little finger she pointed? There's not even a nail.
The divas get asked the question, which is, I don't remember how Alexis responds.
Alexis told the judges that Raja had a great runway, but she was like hard to read.
Okay,
I guess. And she said that Manila is the only girl in the competition I wanted to punch in the face.
Right. She's very honest. She's like, Manila annoys the fuck out of me, and I don't know what to make of Raja because I never had a really connection with her.
I really do like what she says about herself, though. She says that she judges herself too hard, but just her being there shows that, like, she's her own biggest hero. And that's like, it's weird because there's so many times in our respective career, I'm talking for me, but I'm sure you've had a couple career disappointments. Mm-hmm. But you don't remember all the hard work that it took there. And that's also an achievement. It's just like getting there and being there. And like, you know, whenever I have a big disappointment, I wanted to go in for a part on a TV show last week, but I couldn't because I was doing the Coverboy launch and everything. I sent them my reel and they said, great, you're pinned for this episode. And I was like, oh, cool. They're like, they're going to get back to you whenever. Mm-hmm. And then I found out I didn't get it. They gave it to somebody else, but like, I'm happy for that person. And I'm happy that based on my reel alone and the previous work, I was able to do that. You know, I was able to.
Kelly Mantle on Modern Family.
Yeah. But I'm happy for her.
I was supposed to send in a tape and I did not.
Kelly,
for the role of drag queen.
Kelly and I have both been in for Modern Family before, though, as boys one season, and I booked it and then they cut the part. It was for like a sales boy. So I'm glad she got back on for this.
Yeah.
Sales boy.
She's amazing. Yeah. We love
a sales boy selling a
we
sweater.
We love Kelly Mann.
Deep friend of the pod.
Deep friend.
Now, Manila's answers about herself are true. She says she's a bit crazy and stubborn at times, but she's proven she can do almost anything in the competition. Mm-hmm. And she's right. Like, even her critiques from other people and judges, she turns them around and finds a way to make them funny and charming and pays in her favor.
Yes.
You know, like, her hair's too big and she told LaToya, eat dirt, I'm a drag queen.
Kick rocks. Kick rocks, LaToya.
My hair's too big. Oh.
Yeah. She says that Alexis is an amazing performer, but her drag is somewhat predictable and has been seen before. And Raja is fashion forward, but maybe too editorial.
I mean,
I can only accuse you of being too young and too editorial. Willow, I'm sorry. These are my only critiques.
You're too relatable. And very periodical. Quarterly periodical. Not even
Parade
editor.
Magazine. Sunday. I'll have you know I was in the cover of Parade Magazine.
Oh, no, I think you're very Sunday insert.
Oh, thank you. No, I appreciate worry. That.
Now, Raja says Alexis is a talented performer, but she doesn't think outside the box. And
I
then
find
Shangela
her
jumps
marabou
out.
And rhinestones a bit stagnant.
Which feathers can start to smell if you keep them in an enclosed bag.
Honey, I'm living proof. I'm wearing 16 marabou three-ply feathers right now.
I like how you braided them into your ponytail so that you wouldn't crush them.
I did.
Because
yeah.
You cannot keep feathers in a sealed bag. Feathers need to breathe. Their particles are alive or they will just disintegrate, basically.
Why am I in trouble? I need to take some shit out of a bag at home.
Yeah. Send Anthony to the storage center. Let them feathers breathe.
They start to smell like death after a moment.
Yeah.
You know?
I was, when I used to help at EC2, when Mama was there, like some of the old Mackie costumes, I would pick them up and you'd see them in the bag with all these feathers and then you pull them out of the bag and they would just, it was so sad. But, you know, you can't bag up feathers like that.
Right.
Raja says in her critique of herself that it's the first time that she can say she's a beautiful person and she's proud of everything she's done in the competition. Aww. And she almost breaks, but she gets through it and she shows so much heart and vulnerability. And I genuinely believe it. I believe it way more than I believed mine when I cried on the runway, even though that was real, you know, just because it's pure. And it's just all her feelings. She wasn't trying to make a joke about it like I was and make light. It's just like a great piece of Raja.
Yeah. Raja Reflections. Well, this is always I'm glad they sort of did away with this moment because
this part breaks my heart.
It really is.
Breaks my heart to say it.
But it's like, it's all three of them. They all have equal placement in the competition. And then they're just like, by the way, Alexis, you didn't win. Now leave. That's hard. They should let all three of them lip sync, I think.
Or, you know what? They did it to Courtney in season 6, too, with Bianca and Adore.
Mm-hmm.
They, it wasn't shown on TV, but they... we can save this for season 6. I don't need
it. Yeah, you've told it a few times.
We'll
yeah.
save it for the Shh. For the year 2025.
We can cut that.
Ooh. We'll be happy to speak about it in...
look.
Alexis says...
Did I write it?
Ladies. Is that ladies with a Y? No.
Ladies, Hugs. Know your hug? Place. The jig is up. I think that's...
Ladies?
I think she's shade. I think she's throwing shade in there.
Know your place.
I mean, that's...
Meaning where you placed in the competition?
Also, the jig is up was something that she was saying the whole season. It was sort of her catchphrase, but she was referring to
Raja.
Everyone on set kind of knowing that Raja was going to win.
Yeah, and I mean, Alessandra seemed to glean that too just from being there. And
day she picked that up.
Episode 2.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying anything, but the call sheet said RuPaul, Raja. No, I'm kidding. Michelle, Santino.
Nearest hospital.
Raja's purse.
So we're down to two divas.
And they make them lip sync. And lip syncing in this gown for Manila, I don't think could have been an easy thing because it's so tight at the knees. And this is not a four-way stretch gown, I don't think.
Well, she should have done what the other girls did all season, which was struggle to get out of the garment to reveal a less exciting garment underneath. I mean, come on. That's drag.
That's drag.
Could they be lip-syncing to a RuPaul song?
They're lip-syncing to Champion. Oh. Manila does the robot and does Cher mannerisms in the song, whereas Raja does sort of just a straightforward, more like a strong, you know, noble delivery of the song, which I think works for the storyline of I'm about to win the competition, and it cuts together with this has been my journey. And
the girls pretty much park and bark it too. They're both center.
Yeah.
Neither. I mean, Raja goes a little bit, and then at the end they kind of like Manila seems to point, and then Raja goes over there too. She's saying, "Bitch, this is my turn for the middle. Don't make me bring Mimi out here." Yeah, it's not a park and bark. Never mind.
It's a pretty straightforward lip sync, but the exciting moment is that this is kind of the last real reaction that we get to see of a winner, because in the future seasons, there's three endings filmed, so it's sort of like acting. But this was actually Raja finding out that she won, and it's the last time we see that.
Yeah, I remember my season, they Chad was announced as the winner, mm-hmm. and all the girls got up, and I remember still sitting and thinking, they're going to say repo, and they did, and everybody was gagged, and I was like, they're going to film all of them, FYI, mm-hmm. and the girls were like, what? And I was like, Chad didn't win.
So in the first, when they first announced Chad, everyone was under the assumption.
In the audience, we thought Chad really won. Yeah.
I knew he didn't. I knew it was Sharon. I knew it was Sharon.
And then who went after?
Fifi. And when she won, this she had big paperweights that were diamonds glued to this corset. Mm-hmm. And when she won, one of them fell off and started rolling on the stage. And then the crown fell off
her head and onto the floor.
She looked at them like, I should go back to one. And they're like, no. So we knew Fifi didn't win for
RuPaul
sure.
RuPaul was like, we got it. It's fine.
Yeah, that's what that's how they did Fifi.
She was like, we have the theater until 10.
Yeah. Like, literally, yeah.
So you are right about this. This is an honest reaction. And seeing Manila just compose herself and take it in, because this was the first time Manila lost. I mean, this sets a big...
And Manila's, I mean, obviously heartbroken. And her exit interview is really sad and really touching.
She makes so many ageist jokes about Raja, but the funny thing is her Chiron says that she's 25 and she wasn't. So keep making them age jokes.
She says there's nothing I could have done differently, but you know what? If Raja dies of old age, which is very possible, then I can take her place.
And I mean, Manila did win something out of this. She came out of it with a wonderful career and great friends. Mm-hmm. Her and Raja are
they're like besties.
They're like drag con booth buddies.
Yeah, completely.
And what did she write on her her mirror? She said something.
It's really hard to tell.
Hi, mommy and daddy. Yeah. Something you too, babe. Manila Luzon, and then a smiley face with racist eyes.
Oh my gosh! And then Raja gets to prance with the Santi Alley crown.
She didn't even wear this crown on the reunion. That's how much she doesn't like it.
I like it. I think it's cool. Maybe Drag Queen of the Year will have that crown exactly. No, the girls will be pissed.
What if all the judges get crowns?
Okay.
I'll borrow that little one from Manila. Put it in my pubes.
It's great, though, it's because this is actually a crown that you can actually wear.
If you have $39 and you're in Santi Alley. Well,
My crown is really painful to wear. It's very heavy. It's very hard to wear.
Oh my God. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Your crown's too heavy.
Raja does a great prance. RuPaul is off to the side just bopping. Yes. Yes, wow. Girl.
And then they put the Alan Chuck logo all over them for the contractual 3 seconds. And it's a shame nobody's tipping.
And then RuPaul and Raja share a car ride home.
Mm-hmm.
They live together.
What a thrilling...
Yeah, thrilling conclusion.
Oh, and bonus, at the end, we get to see the champion music video. This whole scene with RuPaul on the pillar, they show it for literally like half a second.
A second. And
that's that.
Chaz Bono lit the shit out of it too. He did great.
Let's get it over with. The whole
But how do you feel about the aesthetic choice to mix the stunning, gorgeous promo footage?
Was that her promo from that season?
Yes.
It feels like they didn't have enough footage of whatever they needed to create the video. So like, we'll just take the promo day stuff too.
That is correct.
And we'll do it in color.
Girl, she works smart. She says, if I'm in drag, we better get all the fucking footage. We're releasing Champion. I'll do a lip sync of it in this look because I look cool. It's smart.
But yeah, but it doesn't go with the video at all.
Space age diamond alien queen does not really go with Greek goddesses.
Galactic Greece goddess.
But, you know, I'm not mad because she looks so fucking fierce in the footage from the promo.
And her hair is great.
The lens flares and the bright lights. It's
just
worth watching
and
just
then,
for that.
Oh, good. Then the girls are sword fighting.
Yeah.
And not in the way that could get them $19.90 a month.
Oh, my gosh.
I think this is a bad video.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll say it. I think season's four video was awesome. All the guest judges being crushed by RuPaul.
They stepped it up.
And then the girls being like crazy. Season four's video was way better.
They stepped it up.
This wouldn't go on my resume.
Well,
because it couldn't. I wasn't there. But if I was, I wouldn't put it there. That hair.
Yeah, I mean, RuPaul looks great. They sort of just are showing footage that we kind of have already seen.
They show the pit crew again.
A lot of good slowdowns, though.
A lot of slowdowns, a lot of intimate, you know.
All these girls in high heels and the pit crew with no shoes. I'd be afraid for their toes.
And you're mad.
I'm just worried for their toes.
Right. I mean, Alexis Mateo is fucking dancing and doing steps.
Jason is serving up all you could step on shrimp right now. All them little piggies.
Look at this good RuPaul move.
Yeah.
The drama.
No, she's fully poseable. She can move both arms.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. 100.
Well, we made it to the end of season three.
We made it.
We didn't. We still have a reunion.
Yes, and with so many fits and fashions, I can't wait to see how it pops off at the reunion next week.
Fits and frenzies of fashion.
Oh, like, deep frenzies.
Oh my gosh. And we have some surprises in store, which if we told you, they wouldn't be surprises. But they involve of other people.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you again for joining us, of course, on Race Chaser Classique this week.
The podcast is mine. The cash is mine. And I am America's Next Drag Podcaster.
Work.
Who will
you take the cash? You cash the checks. Check, you show them what they want to see.
Who actually did announce RuPaul's champion? Because it's a weird, it's like, and now the world premiere of RuPaul's champion. It sounds like it's trying to sound like the voice from making the video. Remember?
Right. New next, Christina. New next. Dirty. Too dirty to clean my act up.
The cast is mine, and I am America's Next Drag.
It's Theron. No. It's Santino.
Yeah, it's Santino.
Oh, really?
Listen again.
Oh, good for him. Good booking for voiceover him. Work. It is him.
Who's got the deepest voice on set? We got any tops?
Raja?
For a second.
Good old George Washington over here. I'll do the announcement.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for joining us. And
yes,
I'm Willem.
I'm Alaska.
And we'd love for you to rate and review our podcast. And don't forget to subscribe.
Mm-hmm. And on Instagram, you can follow the dolls at Willem at the Only Alaska 5000. And our Race Chaser account is at Race Chaser Pod.
Hey, and there's bonus content available at patreon.com/Willem. You just joined the Race Chaser tier for access to all of our videos.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to see all my other shit too. That's crazy. And slide into those DMs with your scalding hot tea and explicit dricks or any other body part and email them to us at racechaserpod@gmail.com.
And don't forget to use the hashtag racechaser when you post.
/drag.
See you next week for some more classique.
Doom, 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 doom.
Race Chaser is not endorsed by World of Wonder, Viacom, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. RuPaul's Drag Race and all names, pictures, and audio clips are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders.
Forever Dog.
Race Chaser with Alaska and Willem is a Forever Dog podcast.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey.
Our theme song is Race Chaser by Alaska Thunderfuck, available on iTunes.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.